910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. An appeals board denied a request by Hunter Biden to dismiss federal firearms charges related to his purchase of that firearm and admitted drug use.
Hunter Biden sought to have the federal gun charges against him dismissed before the case goes to trial, but a three-judge appeals panel says it's too soon for the case to be thrown out. A plea agreement between prosecutors and the president's son unraveled last year, and now, in addition to the gun case, which is set to begin next month in Delaware, Hunter Biden also faces federal tax charges in California.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Stormy Daniels done testifying in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. Trump is accused of falsifying business records to hide payments made to Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. Trump's attorneys are renewing efforts for a mistrial. President Biden facing backlash from Republicans and Israeli leaders for saying he won't supply certain bombs to Israel to use in operations in Rafah due to concerns of more civilian casualties. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is calling out Donald Trump on jobs and the economy. The president was in Wisconsin yesterday to tout Microsoft's plans for a $3.3 billion AI data center in Racine and to develop job training programs.
My predecessor made promises which he broke more than kept, left a lot of people behind in communities like Racine. On my watch, we make promises and we keep promises.
6 years ago, Trump and Foxconn promised 13,000 jobs in the area. Drivers in Wisconsin now have two new choices for license plates. They raise money and bring attention to suicide prevention and spaying and neutering pets. Fees include a $25 tax-deductible contribution. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Child care organizations in Superior used Tuesday's A Day Without Child Care to spread awareness about some of the problems the child care industry is facing in Wisconsin. According to a Northern News Now report, local child care workers claim low pay is steering people away from an industry that's costing parents up to $10,000 per child each year. They also say they've struggled to keep up with offering equal access to affordable child care, which could prevent a parent from being able to work. Superior Mayor Jim Payne is asking the city council to intervene as nearly 18% water and gas rate increases loom over the community. According to a Northern News Now report, Superior Water, Light, and Power is planning an over 2% rate increase for electric and nearly 18% for both gas and water. Mayor Payne argues that inflation has not gone up nearly 18%, so he wants somebody who is not employed by the utility to stand up for residents and businesses who may not be able to afford the rate hikes. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A Bucks player under investigation. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks guard Pat Beverly being investigated by the Indianapolis Police Department for throwing a basketball into the crowd at a fan heckling him. It actually missed, hitting another woman in the head. When the ball was tossed back to Beverly, a video shows he threw it again at her. Beverly already apologizing for being rude to an ESPN reporter after the Bucks season-ending loss to the Pacers that night. Baseball. The Brewers host the Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. Christian Yelich back at the DH spot after being out since April 13th with a lower back issue.
It's nice to be back out there and be able to help contribute instead of just having to sit on the sidelines and watch. You know, it still sucks sitting there just watching, especially you know, when you feel like you can have an impact in certain spots. Just having to sit there is no fun, so it's nice to be back out there.
Yelich 0-for-5 in Kansas City. The Crew losing to the Royals 6-4. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and cooler today with highs scraping 60 degrees and winds whipping out of the northeast at 20 miles per hour. With no clouds in the sky overnight, widespread frost is likely as temperatures crash below freezing to the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area at 10:33. All show long, we honor Mother's Day with your favorite mom memories. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Thursday edition of our show here on the Civic Media Network. It's been a busy week, Anya. Very busy week. I cannot believe it is not Friday.
I can't either. I just thought today, I was like, one more great show to end the week.
Great shows. I wanted to start with some fun stuff. We've had some pretty gosh darn serious shows this week. Monday and yesterday, we basically did a two episodes that equaled two parts to commemorate Holocaust Remembrance Day and to talk about what our individual responsibilities are in our community today. And if you want to check those out, civicmedia.us, all the old shows are there. You can take a listen there. Very excited today. We've got an incredibly special guest, frankly, kind of a personal hero of mine, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter James Causey. If I listed every award that Mr. Causey has won, that would take up 2 hours. I've been reading him for 20 plus years. He, I think, brings an incredibly important voice to the pages of the Journal Sentinel. He's been a reporter for over 30 years. I should say columnist. He's really a reflective columnist. So really excited to be bringing Mr. Causey to the show at the 3 o'clock top of hour. But this afternoon, I wanted to start with the fun stuff. As you all may have gleaned, I am a bit of a baseball nerd. And while the Brewers lost yesterday, there were a couple of really exciting games on Monday and Tuesday of this week. And they did lose on Monday. They won on Tuesday, lost yesterday, playing the Cardinals tonight. First pitch at 6:05 p.m. You can listen to that game against the Cardinals, which they're playing here in Milwaukee, their home. But you can listen to those games on WRCE Richland Center, WRJN and Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS and 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls. You can find all of those stations on the Civic Media app that is free to each and every one of you from your favorite app store. But I wanted to play the sound from the first game this week, the Monday night game, which was just again, we ended up losing, but there was an amazing moment. This is Gary Sanchez hitting a homer, but it's not the homer really that is the point here. Let's take a listen.
There's a drive deep into left center field. It is way back and it is way gone. A Brewers fan right in front of the fountains comes away with a catch, and the Brewers have a 2-0 lead. Sanchez with an absolute bomb.
That was a bomb. He does not hit cheapies, does he, Jeff? Wow, that was not the changeup. He actually was ready for the fastball, 96 to the inner part of the plate at the bottom of the zone, and puts the Brewers up 2-0.
I mean, good fun, right? Go Sanchez, nice big fatty old home run. But if you haven't seen the actual video footage of this fan taking this ball down, it is basically like a Major League Baseball catch. And, of course, they were in Kansas City. So he's at the baseball stadium for the Royals. And it's at the very back of the fence in the dead center of the outfield. And this guy goes up and makes, again, what I think looked like a Major League Baseball-type catch. I just thought, even if you're not into baseball, you can watch that and be like, that was pretty awesome.
And I can speak from fact. I'm not that into baseball. I watched this clip. I was cheering for this guy. He gets that ball. He's in his Brewers jersey. And I don't know why he's flapping his arms. He's so excited. I'm like, we're not a team with a bird mascot, but go you, dude. You're so excited.
For sure. He has like no idea what to do with himself.
What do
like,
I do with my hands?
Yeah, exactly. And he's, you know, he brought his glove to the park. I love that level of commitment. Now, I have caught not one, not two, not three, but four baseballs. It may be a reflection of how many baseball games I've actually been to.
Do they sometimes just call you onto the field, Maggie? Are you down in the dugout?
Some days I feel like, put me in, coach. I'm ready.
Let me in.
I'll trot out to the outfield, do a little shagging of the balls. No, four baseballs I have caught in Major League ballparks. I will share with you what they were. The first one that happened, so these are in chronological order, was in 2005 when I was living in New York. I was at Yankee Stadium. It was in the second deck, sort of above and to the left, the nice seats. They were my law firm seat or some partner's seats that I was working at out in New York, kind of to the left of home plate. And believe it or not, I'm sitting there with a beer between my knees and my thumbs pounding out email messages on my BlackBerry. Right? Can you picture it? You can picture it. You know, with my Yankees cap on and big old hoop earrings, because hoop earrings go with everything. Yeah, pounding it out with my thumbs. That's what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, you can kind of feel the energy around you change. And I look up, and I see a baseball, and the only person that it is flying towards is me. So appropriately, I remove the beer from between my knees, but then stand up losing the BlackBerry. That went somewhere. And I literally stood up, and I'm a tall gal, stuck my hands up in the air and sucked in this baseball and sat down. And I was like, I hope the partners at the law firm think catching a baseball is a good reason why I'm not going to be responding to any more emails today. So that was baseball catch number one. The second one was at Wrigley Field. Now, please do not start texting in angry messages about, you know, oh, the Yankees, not even the National League. That's where you catch a bit. Oh, them freaking Cubs. I agree with you about all of that. Now, admittedly, the Cubs, the one I caught at Wrigley was during BP. It was during batting practice. So doesn't really count. But if you've been to peak of the summer baseball games at Wrigley, and I've done a few of them on the rooftops because I lived there for a couple of years. The people that sit in the bleacher seats at Wrigley are diehard. And there's a very like hardcore bro vibe in the bleachers at Wrigley. And that day was particularly hot. It was like 98 degrees out. It was where, again, you're drinking Miller Lite or whatever they serve. It's probably Bud Light because it's Chicago. God knows. You can't even catch a buzz because it's basically water and you're sweating so much. Anyways, at BP, at batting practice, it is a bromance, heavy bro vibe in the bleachers. And the people are already packed in because they come there to try to shag balls during batting practice. This is the point. Bunch of dudes have baseball gloves. I'm just sitting there, you know, double fisting with my Bud Lights that I can't catch a buzz off. And you do buy them at least two per person at Wrigley, because to leave the bleachers and go to find the beer is, I will leave breadcrumbs as I will be back. Maybe. you before hold, the end of the game.
You hold this end of the red string,
yes,
and I will go into the mines of Moria to find beer for us here in Chicago.
Yeah, it's what, and heaven forbid you try to find a lady's restroom.
No way.
And when you do, there's 100 women in line and about an inch and a half of standing water. And not a huge fan of Wrigley. I'm at batting practice, hip to hip with a bunch of bros in their Cubs hats. I am proudly doffing all of my Brewers gear, right? And there may have even been a little bit of smack talk occurring. I know it's hard for you all to imagine that I, Maggie Dawn, might engage in a little Brewers baseball smack talk with Cubs fans, but I did. What do you know? During batting practice, a Cubby cracks one, right? And they're getting thrown literal softball, like easy pitches to hit. It's warm-ups, right? And all of a sudden, I feel the crush of the bros. Because, again, the sucker's coming right at me. So I stand up on the bleacher, and I'm taller than the bros. So I catch this puppy, and I literally sucked it down, like, you know, you catch it with soft hands. They call it use soft hands. And then stuck my elbows out, like covered the ball with my arms, yes, put it into my gut, basically, into my stomach, and bent over and basically boxed out as if I had a basketball because the bros were not happy that the female six-footer Brewers fan talking trash about all of them had just sucked down this home run hit during batting practice. And they were clawing in there. This was not like a friendly jostle.
I've seen adult fans grab at kids who have gotten them. So I can only imagine, Maggie, they were out for blood against you.
Full box out, full elbows out. And then to everyone in the state of Wisconsin, I did us all a solid after triumphantly declaring that this ball is mine. What did I do, everyone? I hope you're all yelling at your radios right now. What did I do? I looked at all of the bros in the bleachers with me. I took that baseball, and what did I do with it? I chucked it back into Wrigley Field. Because I hate the stinking Cubs. I always have. I always will. And I'm lucky that I scooted out of...
You ran, didn't you?
I was like, gotta go, guys. Bye. No. No, I sat down and took a big slug of my now lukewarm wax plastic cuppy thing, Bud Light, while perspiring a bunch. But yes, I took on a bunch of bros in the bleachers at Wrigley Stadium around 2009. So there's, about a six-year gap between catching ball number one and ball number two. Now, the next two baseballs I caught, much more in rapid succession. Those are fun stories. Caught those both in now AmFam Field in proper sort of foul territory. One I gave away to a kid that was sitting next to me because I was like, by this time, I'm an old pro at this. And the other one I kept because I was just surrounded by a bunch of adults in like VIP seats. You know, it's that by the boxes, that whole... By the way, that's where if you win Civic Media baseball tickets and we're about to do a giveaway that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. Those are the four balls that I have caught at major league games. But I got to tell you about the baseball that I got out of Old Miller Park that means more to me than anything in the whole wide world. You're not going to miss that. We're starting out on a light foot today here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. I got a story about my most favorite baseball that I ever picked up at a major league ballpark after these brief messages.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. Been telling some stories about the four baseballs I've caught in Major League Baseball stadiums. All of them during games, except for the one at Wrigley. That's probably my favorite, to be honest with you. Just because I showed them. Getting some love and hate on the text line. Scott, I see you. I hear you. He's a big Cubs fan. Thanks for listening, buddy. Terry in Cross Plains, you go, girl. Heck yeah. Women can catch baseballs, too. But I got to tell y'all, many of you may have inferred over the time that we've been together that my dad is where I got all my baseball love from. He's the one that taught me how to score baseball, which I love to do. I get very obsessive about it. And I refuse to buy pencils at the ballpark because they're such a darn ripoff. And why can't I buy the scorecard from the vendor in the concourse anymore? No, I got to go into the stupid stores so they can try to sell me merch. I've digressed. Taught me how to score baseball. I grew up watching my dad play in basically bar league baseball teams. Every year that from the beginning of my waking memory, I was going to games with my mom and watching my dad play baseball. And he typically would either pitch or play first base. He's a lefty. Southpaw. My dad was a finesse pitcher, played baseball in college, lifelong athlete, but baseball was his jam. He truly loves the game. It is a lot of fun to go to baseball games with folks like that because my dad knows just so much technical baseball and the stats. He'll basically tell me, oh, I think the pitcher's going to throw this. This is going to be a slider, and here's why you'd throw that. It's fun because I learn something every time I go to a baseball game with my dad. And my dad, it wasn't until he was well into his 60s that he stopped playing baseball. He still gets the itch when pitchers and catchers report to spring training. It's like mid to late February. Oh, this is when I'd start going to the batting cages and loosening up for the season. He misses that still. So it's always great fun every year to go to Brewers games with my dad, listen to him gripe about some of the newfangled things in baseball, but genuinely to share a love of the game with my dad. And one of the last teams my dad played on was a men's under 30 or a 30 and over team, excuse me. So it was over 30 men's baseball, not softball. My dad is a purist. He will never play softball, refuses to do that. He's like, it's just guys trying to park the ball as far as they possibly can. He likes the technicalities of baseball. So he was playing on this over 30 team. They were really good. Very, very good. They made it to the men's World Series in over 30 World Series in Arizona a couple years. Him and his really good buddy, Mike. My dad's a Mike, too. So the two Mikes went to Arizona to play. But one of the most special games was when they played in Old Miller Park. It was a fundraiser game. So they would just sell tickets. It was on a, you know, on a day where the Brew Crew wasn't in town. And so my mom and his sister and me went to go watch my dad play baseball in a major league ballpark. Now, my dad never played in the majors. And, that broke his heart a little bit. And so it was really, really something special to watch my dad play in a major league baseball ballpark. And he got to pitch. I think he came in the seventh inning and pitched. And you could see that my dad was a finesse pitcher. Not the fastest, but you could see the movement on the ball. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm biased, but he got out there and I was like, now that looks like a baseball pitcher. You know what I'm saying? I was so proud of him. He struck out the other team's like big man that was batting in the four slot, the cleanup hitter. And I was like, yeah, Dad, get him. Because the guy was used to just having heat thrown to him. And here my dad comes as a lefty and he has this kind of looping hot. You know, my dad is in the old school where the pitcher's knee comes way up, you know, and the long extension off the pitching mound. Loved seeing my dad take that guy out. So my dad was then up to bat the next inning in the lineup. And again, my dad and I had logged a lot of hours talking and watching baseball. And so my dad gets up to bat and he went up in the count 3-0. And the guy was struggling with control. He threw a fastball down the middle. And my dad usually would choke up because his eyesight wasn't as good as it once was. You know, so you just, your hand-eye coordination, if you choke up, it's going to be a little bit tighter, a little bit faster reaction. So my dad goes up 3-1 in the count. That's a batter's count because the pitcher's got to throw a strike or you're taking first base. And I watched my dad step back a little bit in the box and drop his hand down to the end of the bat. And I was like, ooh, Mom. I actually said something to my mom, like, I know Dad thinks this guy's going to throw him a fat old fastball. And what did the guy do? He threw a fat old fastball right down the middle. And because my dad is a student of the game, at 60 plus years old in an over 30 men's baseball league, my dad, Mike Dawn, hit a freaking home run in Old County Stadium. I mean, you want to see me lose my marbles at a baseball game? That was it. I was crying. My mom and my aunt, we're all hugging. My dad's, he always said the respectful way to hit a home run is to not flip the bat, not some big, is you'll just drop the bat, put your head down and run around the bases. Cause the pitcher at that moment, his stomach just dropped, right? You don't want to rub it in any way. So my dad's trotting around the bases, head down, but we are losing it. So what did I do? I, of course, left my seats. And nobody was sitting in the outfield. None of those sections were open because they sold, I don't know, maybe 1,000 tickets, if that. Because it was a charity fundraiser. I went and found an usher, nagged this guy to take me out to where my dad had hit the home run. And I went and got the baseball. It's the one baseball signature that will probably mean more to me than anything in my whole life, because it was my dad's. And I have a couple signed balls from some other big-time baseball players. But, Dad, if you are listening, thank you for one of my most favorite baseball memories of all time. And I thank each and every one of you for coming along with me on a little reminiscing about Maggie's baseball memories. The Brewers keyed it all off. Now, my other greatest baseball memory, also with my dad, and I think I've mentioned it on the air before, was Paul Molitor hitting a walk-off grand slam way back in the day, also at Old County Stadium, in the gap between that yellow foul pole and where the bleachers used to start at Old County. Well, this week in Brewers baseball, there was also a walk-off home run hit by Willie Adames. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. This was the Tuesday, May 7th game at the Kansas City Royals. Let's take a listen. This was great because Adames had been chit-chatting with the Royals fans right where he would stand in the batter's box. Let's take a quick listen.
Fly ball, left field. It is back. It is gone! A three-run go-ahead home run for Willie Adames. What a shot in the arm for the Brew Crew.
Willie Adames. Nothing better. Then it wasn't quite a walk-off. They still had to defend because the Royals got the last three outs of that game. But congratulations to Willie Adames. Those are big, big moments in baseball. Thanks for listening, everybody. As I did my little baseball opener to the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about Judge Aileen Cannon. Can't find her way to a good decision. And, of course, there's a stormy brewing in New York City. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Most of us are focused on planting, but one small community in South Central Wisconsin's all about the harvest. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The small community of Muscadet focused on a fungus. Details on the way.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you, or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
The small community of Muscadet, Wisconsin, is focused in on morel mushrooms for their annual festival that's coming up May 17th and 18th. Tom Nondorf is a local that's helped to gather the morels from the wild for the past couple of years. He says this year looks exceptional when it comes to the harvest.
I would say it's going to be probably one of the better seasons in the last few years. Because, 23, the numbers were down. I think we did buy around 500 pounds at the end there. 2022, we bought, I think, maybe 250 pounds. 21 was a slow year, and 20 with the COVID year was a really bad year because that was a cold, cold spring. That was really down. But I'm looking this year should be a fairly decent year if I was to say if I could have probably bought 300-400 pounds by now if I was buying regularly.
Tom Norndorf from Muscadet, one of the morel mushroom specialists and buyers for the community festival. All the money raised during the Muscadet Morel Festival goes towards the American Legion Post 85. You can find more details about the festival online, muscadet.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And Compure Financial has awarded more than $240,000 to 61 county fairs across their service area, all for fairground improvements. They say 37% of the monies will be used for electric and lighting projects, 25% for building upgrades, and 24% for structural repairs. Want to find out more about those grants? Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and cooler today, with highs scraping 60 degrees and winds whipping out of the northeast at 20 miles per hour. With no clouds in the sky overnight, widespread frost is likely, as temperatures crash below freezing to the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, actor, and Wisconsin native Eric Price, and the group Onstage for Cancer stops by to perform live in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
I'm not gonna give up, I'm not gonna tell, I'm gonna work harder, I'm gonna survive.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. If you, you know, sometimes need a break from talk, obviously not a break from my show, but maybe just a little break from the politics of it all, don't worry. Civic Media's got you covered. We have 80s, 90s, and more. That is on 105.7 CFW in Eau Claire or 99.7 Max FM out of Baraboo in Wisconsin Dells. If you like country, we got 98Q, Country Park Falls, WRCO, Richland Center, all kinds of good tunes flowing on the Civic Media app, or if you're within range on those very stations. So go check that out. Of course, not during these 2 hours of essential talk. It has not been a good week for the judicial system. Not at all. In case you haven't been keeping score, no baseball pun or metaphor intended, let me summarize. You've got Trump's January 6th case under state law in Georgia. You have Trump's voter manipulation case, an election interference case in New York. That is the Stormy Daniels matter. That trial is ongoing as we speak. Then you have the January 6th case under federal law in Washington, D.C. And then you have what I think is the most clear-cut case against Donald Trump, the Mar-a-Lago documents case out of Florida. Basically, none of these cases, none of the remaining three cases, so Georgia January 6th, DC January 6th, or the Florida documents case, none of these are going to see a jury. Not a piece of evidence will be tested in a court of law before the election. They're done. Now, there is one way to resurrect the Georgia case, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to deal with, first of all, let me summarize. The D.C. case is toast because the Supreme Court is loaded up with five men that don't have their feet firmly planted on terra firma planet Earth and are about to dole out some kind of presidential immunity. I guarantee it. I've dealt with that oral argument at length. It was about 2-3 weeks ago. It is an abomination. It's what I call it in the op-ed that I wrote for Civic Media. You can, again, find that at civicmedia.us. We're waiting on the Supreme Court. Lord knows when that will happen. But because of that, I guarantee, as I wrote, there will be some sort of factual hearing that the court is going to require back in trial court about what are private acts and what's official acts. And then that will be appealed as a matter of right by Donald Trump. And he'll probably even get the Supreme Court to try to weigh in yet again. That thing ain't seeing a courtroom before November. Guaranteed. You heard it here. I called it a while ago. It is done now. Oh, and just mind you, back in December when Trump said he was going to appeal the denial of immunity, Jack Smith asked the Supreme Court to take this matter up on an expedited basis. Would they do? Nah, we'll just let this one marinate. Justice delayed is justice denied. We all deserve to know. Donald Trump deserves a chance to prove his innocence, but apparently not under the Supreme Court. So D.C.'s gone. I'll get to Georgia in a second, but Florida, my goodness. This, I have railed about Aileen Cannon before. She can't even when she's given the correct pages in the correct case, she still can't get the rule of law correct. And there was a trial date set for May. Now she comes out this week and says, trial date, schmial date. There's just not going to be a trial date. I can't possibly pick a trial date. And the reasoning for this is that she can't get her job done on time. That's why. I went and got the order off the docket, you know, because this is what I do. If you're watching on YouTube, X, or Facebook, I went and got the order because it was like, what did you? These motions that she's, oh, well, we have to take this one on May 8th and then the resolution of the seal request on the 20th and non-evidentiary hearing on defendant Nauta's motion to dismiss for selective and vindictive prosecution. Are you kidding me? May 22nd. three quarters of those motions are garbage motions that had been filed by Trump or the other defendants with the explicit intention of slowing the case down. These could be dealt with fairly summarily. Oh, by the way, this is a little nerd wonk for you. If you did go and get the order off of the federal docket, which of course I did, you will notice on page 2 that one of the motions has a little footnote attached to us. This would be footnote 3 of document 530 in the case of the United States versus Donald Trump. Footnote 3 talks about any amici wishing to present oral argument during this hearing must seek leave of court to do so no later than June 3rd, 2024. I'm sorry, say what? Amici or amicus briefs, by the way, amicus, the name of Civic Media's very own Jim Santel's show on Saturdays. Amicus means friend of the court. These are briefs that a non-party, so someone who's not a part of the litigation, will submit. They typically only happen when you get to the Supreme Court level. They don't happen at the trial court. This was interesting because she's taking friend of the court briefs. And what motion is this on, you may ask? It's on the motion to dismiss the indictment based upon unlawful appointment and funding of special counsel. What? It's like the special counsel is illegitimate. That's what we're going to argue. Come on. You need friend of the court briefs on this one? You're even going to take oral argument from friends of the court? This is so bizarre, everybody. The woman is a moron. And I'm going to say not only stupid, but corrupt. We have now well crossed over into bad faith territory. She's doing this on purpose. It's very plain to me. Here's the language from the ruling filed 2 days ago. The court also determines that finalization of a trial date at this juncture, before resolution of the myriad and interconnected pretrial and SEPA issues remaining and forthcoming, would be imprudent and inconsistent with the court's duty to fully and fairly consider the various pending pretrial motions before the court, critical SEPA issues. By the way, SEPA, Confidential Information Protection Act. And additional pretrial and trial preparations necessary to present this case to a jury. Well, get on it. What the hell have you been waiting for? The court therefore vacates the current May 20th trial date and associated calendar call to be reset by separate order following resolution of the matters before the court. By when? She doesn't say. Consistent with defendant's right to due process and the public's interest in the fair and efficient administration of justice, say what? That takes some gumption. That's radio appropriate. Some gumption on her part. She goes on to say the court has evaluated the statutory factors set forth in the Speedy Trial Act, including the public's interest in the efficient administration of justice. Well, I evaluated the factors and decided that none of them actually mattered, despite a federal law compelling me to conduct a speedy trial. And because I really don't feel like doing my job because I want to shill for Donald Trump and slow this down as much as possible, I'm just going to ignore it. Okay, the decision really doesn't say that. She says this, the public's interest in the efficient administration of justice. Upon such review, the court finds that the ends of justice served by this continuance, though the last deadline specified in this order, July 22nd, Upon such review, the court finds that the ends of justice served by this continuance through the last deadline specified in this order, July 22nd, outweigh the best interest of the public and defendants in a speedy trial. I'm sorry, Judge Cannon. What? You mean to tell me that in a trial that is about a former president stealing military and national security secrets intentionally, that the public and the defendant, who is the nominee for president of the United States again, that our best interests are not to have a trial before the election? I can't believe that one could even make that argument with a straight face, let alone a sitting federal judge who swore an oath to the Constitution. Time under the Speedy Trial Act is therefore told, up to and including July 22nd, to permit adequate time for hearings and adjudication of the substantive pretrial motions, discoveries, disputes, and SEPA issues. Here's my favorite line. Many of which present novel and difficult questions. Oh, my job's hard. Get on with it. Now, I don't just want to rail against her. I hope you're all thinking to yourself, well, how would you do it, Maggie? Or how would you get this done? Or why is that? We understand why it's a problem. You're denying the public. First of all, she's violating the Speedy Trial Act, which sets firm deadlines for how cases are to proceed. That's why she had to say the deadlines under the Speedy Trial Act are told. In other words, basically suspended indefinitely is what told means. How would you fix this problem, Maggie? Well, let me tell you, I know a thing or two about this. Happened to be a lawyer, happened to have clerked for a federal appeals court judge. You know, the judges that oversee and overrule bad decisions and bad judging, like what Aileen Cannon is doing in Florida. Here's what you would do. You would work backwards from the deadline set in the Speedy Trial Act. You would figure out exactly by when you would have to have these various motions decided. You would tell your clerk, and you would hire more than one elbow clerk. You'd hire three or four. If you needed a special dispensation from the chief judge that oversees the Southern District of Florida to hire more clerks, you would do so. You would marshal up all of the resources necessary to present and brief and review for your private review with your clerks helping you. Review all of the motions and all of the law, and you'd ask them to assist you. And most of all, you would work morning, noon, and night tirelessly, because the administration of justice and the very democratic process itself is relying upon you, Judge Cannon, to do your job on time. That's what I would do. I wouldn't be crafting 5-page orders that excuse my tardiness, my inability to manage my own docket. When you raise a hand and swear an oath as an Article III lifetime appointee to a federal court, part of what you are agreeing to do is to do your job in a timely way so that the public and defendants can have their day in court. And in this case, one of the most important and also, oh, by the way, most clear-cut cases from a criminality perspective, you would get your damn job done. Half of these motions that she's saying are so hard and such novel questions, they're not. You treat Donald Trump as he is, a criminal defendant who happened to be the president of the United States, but who has violated and betrayed our country's most sensitive secrets. That's who he is. That's what he's been accused of. You treat it with the seriousness and with the alacrity that such a case merits. You don't find every reason under the book to hem and haw. Good friend of mine uses the word over perseverate. It's basically just overthinking everything. I don't think she knows what is a clear-cut question when she sees it. I don't think she knows how to manage a docket. I don't think she knows what her actual job is, which isn't to shill for either side, but to fairly decide the issues in a timely way. This is ridiculous. Oh, and the other thing you don't do when you're a federal judge is whine about your job. You don't write things like, oh, it's going to take me a long time because, you know, these issues are novel and difficult questions. We'll talk a little Stormy and I'll talk a little Georgia when we come back after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Even in my years to come, I'm still going to be here.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show. I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused.
Ooh. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Shout out Little Dolly. It's Dolly. Is it Dolly do it?
Yeah, this is Dolly's cover of Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics off of her Rockstar Deluxe album.
Awesome. Everybody needs more Dolly Parton in their lives. You know what I'm saying? Little Jolene. And then the Beyonce cover of Jolene.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh,
it's,
yes.
It's like all these fabulous women talking to each other through music. I love it. My thanks to Jim Denny for a shout out on the Book of the Faces. Also, Steve from Milwaukee reminding me to tell all of you that there is a petition online to remove Judge Cannon from the case. Go sign it. There's 300,000 signatures. Sherry from Horicon, what's up? Thanks, everybody, for participating online and through the phones. You got a question for me this last segment before we bring on my very special guest in the 3 o'clock hour, Mr. James Causey, columnist extraordinaire, observer of things Milwaukee and beyond for the Journal Sentinel. Can't wait to talk with James. But I'm kind of beside myself this week. Aileen Cannon fumbling the ball yet again. And Trump's never going to see the inside of the courtroom in the Florida documents case. And that is the most, most important case, in my opinion, because it is the most clear. You don't get to steal national secrets. You don't get to say, I don't have them. I don't have them. I'm lying. I don't have them. I've got them, but I'm going to lie to the FBI and to the Secret Service and the National Archives. And there's a law that requires me to give them back. And I'm going to lie about it. And I'm going to keep them in my bathroom and maybe show them to some journalists and God knows who else. I think we can all get our heads around that concept. So that case, as far as I'm concerned, is dead in the water. If Trump wins election, the first thing he'll do when inaugurated is wave a magic wand and pardon himself. And that case will go away. The New York voter manipulation case is a state law case. It's a bit complicated. That one, here's the problem. Any way this comes out, Trump wins. Right? Anyway, acquitted. See? Political prosecution. Convicted with a sentence. This is election interference. I'm being martyred. That is a lose-lose proposition in that case, as far as I'm concerned. By the way, go see my Bill Barr episode from last week, if you want to know why the feds never got around to prosecuting Donald Trump for that case. So that one's New York, doesn't matter. It's a win-win for Trump. Florida's gone. D.C., yep, the Supreme Court, that January 6th case, the Supreme Court's going to mull that one over for so freaking long that we're not getting to trial on that one before November. Jack Smith actually isn't, you know, some sort of wizard that can get things done much more quickly. And make no mistake, the Supreme Court's going to require another hearing back in the trial court, and then that'll have its own appeal cycle. Not seeing trial before November on that one. So that's toast. And then we come to Georgia, the other January 6th case. The Georgia Court of Appeals yesterday said that they will take up the question of whether or not District Attorney Fannie Willis should be removed from the case. You will recall Fannie Willis had an admitted relationship with the prosecutor that she hired to lead the January 6th case under Georgia state law. The trial court judge there heard basically motions saying because they had a relationship, there was a conflict of interest, she should be removed. The special prosecutor stepped down. The trial judge ruled that she could, while there was, quote, an appearance of impropriety, she could remain on the case. Trump appealed that, obviously, the appeals court in the state of Georgia now saying that they'll hear that. That will take forever in Georgia. It's a very lengthy process there. This is a total, total circus in Georgia. Attorneys for Trump wrote that despite Attorney Wade, that's the special prosecutor, despite Attorney Wade's departure, that was not enough to, quote, resolve the appearance of impropriety, and it has cast a pall over these entire proceedings. It called McAfee, the trial court judge's decision to keep Willis on the case, an enormous failure and a structural error that would not just cause substantial error at trial, but could later cause a verdict to be overturned. They might be right. Guess what District Attorney Fannie Willis should be doing? Step down from the case. Resign. Take it out from your office. I have talked about the fact that on this show that I think some of her treatment in the media has not been entirely fair. But at the end of the day, that was an egregious error in judgment. And oh, gosh, Wade made it worse. He went on one of the talk shows. And I can't believe he did this. Went on one of the talk shows. This was on Monday. With ABC News, and basically contradicted the sworn testimony that he gave in the hearing about whether or not to remove Fannie Willis. When pressed on when the relationship began and when it ended, he said during the interview with ABC that it went from early 2022 to late 2023. Oops, under oath, Willis and Wade both said that their relationship ended in the summer of 2023. Not the end of. I mean, you stop doing these things. She's got to step down. It's the only way that that case may have any chance to move forward unencumbered with what has become the sideshow of sideshows. So in case any of you are keeping track, justice system holding rich and powerful just as accountable as the rest of us people, us little people, is 0-for-4. Four prosecutions in four different jurisdictions, two state level, two federal level, and not a single one of them is going to make a hill of beans difference as to the criminal conduct that Donald Trump engaged in. Don't we deserve better? Don't we deserve a justice system that at least can move fast enough with, you know, 4 years in between to get a trial started? Before the freaking election? Is that too much to ask? I guess it is, Anya. A wee bit too much. The efficient administration of justice. Justice delayed is justice denied, and each and every one of you has been denied justice by being deprived of the opportunity to see the evidence against the former MAGA president tested in court. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere. Columnist for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey, up next with me here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we bring on our ongoing friend and contributor, Peter Rapine of EPOM's World, to take a comical look back at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.